System Mastery Music is proud to announce an amazing and powerful collection of fine music, never before available for home stereo purchases.
I'm Kirk Cameron, and I'm here to say, I know Jesus in a biblical way. He and me, we couldn't be tighter. Yes, we are lovers, not fighters.
And now, for the very first time on home stereos, System Mastery Music presents Kirk Cameron Raps, a collection of some of the very finest tracks by one of Christianity's most notorious hip-hop artists. Only System Mastery brings you great classics like Original G.
Who is the biggest Original G? That would be God, it's plain to see. Out of the mud is how he made us. Our souls got dirty, so he sent Jesus.
Don't miss this opportunity to receive the System Mastery treasury of amazing Kirk Cameron raps, including such gems as Hand Banana, Crocoduck Rock, Straight Out of Bethlehem, I'm Kirk Cameron, Something Out of Nothing, Jesus, 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 oh Jesus, Haters Gonna Burn in the Lake of Fire, On My Knees Pleasing Jesus, and Teach the Controversy.
Teach the controversy. It's fine for you to say about evolution, but it's wrong.
Order now and you'll also receive a third set, Kirk Cameron's Christmas Raps, featuring such classics as Happy Holidays in Hell, Wrap the Halls, Santa Ain't Pagan, Reason for the Season, Grandma Got Run Over by Defunct, I Saw Three Ships Come Rapping In, Hark the Herald Angels Rap, and more.
Why the hell do I have to say Happy Holidays? It's Christmas. Kirk Cameron is Jesus. He's the reason for the season.
This complete collection has never been available before now, and will only be around for a limited time. The complete Kirk Cameron Raps Anthology on your choice of CD or two cassettes. Have your credit card ready and call today at 555-555-5553. That's 555-555-5553. Call today. Hello and welcome to Afterthought, the podcast where every other week we get together and talk about whatever the hell we want. I'm Jeff, my partner John, as always, is right here with me. Say hello to the nice people, John.
No, I don't want to.
John doesn't want to say hello to you nice people. I'm sorry, there's really not much I can do. When he gets like this, it's...
I want McDonald's.
I mean, ultimately, we're going to have to record for another hour, but then we will go and get McDonald's. That'll probably bring him down. But until then, it's just going to be more of this. I'm sorry, he's special.
Mm.
This is just Little League all over again.
Damn it. I couldn't keep it anymore.
You cracked first.
I did. I broke character first.
All right. Anyway, Afterthought is when we get together each week and talk about the most recent System Mastery, what we did right, what we did wrong, who those two assholes are, and how good they think their reviews are.
How did they manage to get in here?
Yeah, I don't understand what's up with that. Those two guys suck. Like, I don't know who would listen to this after the System Mastery podcast. It is garbage.
Right?
Yeah, I don't understand. Perhaps they're just both really swole dicks.
Yes, that's obviously it.
Yeah.
They're two hot and sexy men with swole dick.
That must be it. All right, so what did we discuss last week? What was the most recent episode of the System Mastery?
We reviewed Fireborn, which is the game where you are a beautiful dragon on the inside until you become a beautiful dragon on the outside.
And on the inside, on the outside, you're like a nerd or perhaps someone who's having a hard time in life, is that right? Or
you're just some person.
Kind of. I mean, my problem with that game really was that you don't start as the nerd who... You don't have that Bastion moment before he gets Falcor. You don't have that. You start as an awesome badass. I mean, look at the character classes you had available. I mean, sure, one of them is like homeless guy, but other ones are like, yeah, you're basically Tyler Durden.
Well, the problem with that is they wanted you to go like, you've always had this dragon soul inside you. You've always known you're good. You just need to unleash the dragon.
Right, but that leaves you at this point where your whole life you've been smug and annoying, and now it's justified.
Oh, so it's just like me.
Except you're not Justified.
No, I am not on Justified.
No, you're not a character. You're not Timothy Oliphant.
No, I am not.
Not Patton Oswalt, who's been on that show several times.
Yeah, unfortunately, no.
That's too bad. I'm sorry you're not Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, so am I. Then I would have a career of some kind.
Would your tweets be masterful?
Oh, I would have the most amazing tweets that would piss everyone off.
Oh my gosh. From the SJWs to the right-wingers. Yes. No one likes his raw, unfiltered Patton truth.
I just drop Patton bombs on people all day long.
You know who dropped a lot of Patton bombs? I don't know. Patton Oswalt? that general that was named Patton?
Yes.
One of those.
Yes. General Patton Oswalt. Our five-star General Patton Oswalt.
We must deploy troops to that comic store. It's got a jock in it.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So, the general topic for this week is... So, I was thinking about the game. And, of course, obviously, the topic of it being just Otherkin, the game, it came up when we were reviewing it. Came up when I was telling people about the game. Because the internet exists, the game has been kind of tarnished. And I was thinking, like, when you're writing a game or making anything, how much do you need to care about what's going on the internet with that? Because if I make a game that's, say, all about being a rad, awesome guy that can transform into stuff, but I know that there are transformation fetishists out there, like, should this affect me?
Well, I think that really depends on what your rad, awesome character that can transform into.
A car, obviously.
Okay, if he can turn into a car,
it's
then...
It's a guy that turns into a car.
Okay, alright, fine. So it's a teen car situation.
Yeah, we've got teen car happening.
Okay, that makes sense. That will lead to some fetish, but I think it's minor enough. Like, if your character was a rad, awesome dude who could turn into a dirty diaper, or like a sock that a guy with big, gross feet could wear...
yeah.
Then, yeah, that now you're probably building... You should really pay more attention to the internet to determine not to do that. Also, you're gross.
Also, congratulations. You're disgusting.
All right.
But I mean, like, even more than just listening to the internet as far as, like, is this a fetish or not?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, how much attention should you pay to the internet for anything? Like, we were just talking about Patton Oswalt pissing everyone off.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, say what you will about him, he's just doing whatever he wants. So if I'm writing a game, should I be going through going, all right, well, this is going to make, like, these people angry, or this is going to make someone else pissed off? You know, how much do you need to compromise your game for the sake of pleasing the internet, essentially?
Well, I think it's an easy thing to look back in history at other games and determine how much people have looked at, you know, what will please people or what will piss people off, and then just made their decision based on that. Because you can't count on my hands and your hands put together the number of games that are super heavy on bio truths.
where they're like,
you know, it's probably going to piss off the internet if I put a massive strength and charisma penalty on women because I don't like them. But I can probably justify that by saying it's biologically true. So I'm going to do that because that's the kind of guy I am.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, I'm not saying like, oh, them damn SJWs, if I want to have something that's ridiculous and homophobic in my game, I should be able to. Like, obviously not that. But at a point, you have to decide, like, what is my game about, and do I need to worry about making someone pissed off? Like, if I have a game that is about, I don't know, being a devil, but it turns out devils are good, and God's an asshole, like, am I going to piss Christians off if I do that?
I'm going to make the Anne Rice game.
No, I'm going to make Preacher.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I have a slightly different view on where you're going with this. I'm picking up a whole lot of Vampire Lestat and Taltos situations.
Well, I mean, also, yes.
Yeah, I mean, where it's like, God is an asshole, but Satan is pretty great, but Lestat can't handle it, so he goes to eat some period blood instead.
God damn.
Oh, Anne Rice, what happened to you?
See, I've always loved the idea that Satan was just a cool guy.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, dude, I really wanted to be in charge, and then he threw me down here. And then souls come to me, and I'm not going to torture them because I don't care about humans at all. Like, that's not what I give a fuck about. And so humans would go down there, and then he'd be like, I don't know, do whatever you want. People would just be partying.
Yeah.
Like, there'd be a lot of beach volleyball in hell, is what I'm assuming.
Yeah, okay, well, I assume, let's see, Goose is down there. So, yeah, there's at least one part of a quartet of awesome shirtless beach volleyball. We just need all the rest of the characters from Top Gun to die, and we're gonna hit that.
Yeah. No, I always imagine Satan getting his revenge on God by making hell a really awesome place to be. And he's like, well, fuck you, I'll make my own heaven with blackjack and hookers.
Those are the differences between heaven and hell, is that there are blackjack and hookers there.
Oh, yeah. You get to hell, and he's like, here's your harp, here's your halo, also blackjack tables over there, here are
which
the hookers.
Is awesome, because when you get to heaven, there's nothing but Texas Hold'em, and I am sick of that. How long is that going to be a thing already?
Come on, man. I don't need the heavenly series of poker.
Yeah, God, play some other game. I mean, I know that in the like late 70s in heaven, it was all Baccarat.
Yes, it was all Burt Bacharach.
It's Burt Bacharach. Not dead, but in heaven anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had to get a gig somewhere.
Burt
we
Bacharach.
We can't all be in Branson.
Look, I'm playing Branson for the month of February, but then I got to be somewhere. Heaven's hiring. I can entertain to the 18 people up there that are bored of playing Baccarat. That'll be my campaign, my slogan, Baccarat instead of Baccarat. People will get it.
They'll get it. They know.
Oh, all right. Why don't we... Exalted. It would probably be a great example of something where people aren't really paying a whole lot of attention to the internet.
Oh, yeah. That's sort of a split, again, where they had... okay, anyone who isn't aware, which, I don't know, I assume several people are, but in case you aren't, there was, the Exalted 3rd Edition was coming out, and there was a bit of a thing about the Abyssals, which are the evil death versions of the Exalted.
Oh, yeah, and this book is not coming out for years. I mean,
oh,
this is
a really, really
yeah,
long time.
This is a book that's, the core book, which is not about Abyssals, is currently 3 years overdue. So, the Abyssals book, which they don't have a release date for, is probably going to come out sometime after Time Stops.
Yeah.
But they released a preview from it anyway.
Yeah, they're like, well, here's what we're thinking Abyssals are going to be like. And they have a Death Lord, which is where the Abyssals sort of come from. They follow the Death Lord.
Sure, like pissy super vampires, no problem.
Yeah. So the Death Lord that they were doing a preview for is kind of a sexy Death Lord. And then the sample charms were all supposed to be more like sexy, goth, bodice-ripping, sort of like Harlequin novel-esque. But it ended up just being, you use a charm, and ghosts rape someone.
Yeah, I mean, it's like ghosts go out and ravish your target until they are satisfied or something. But
yeah, and so everyone was like, holy shit, what the fuck are you doing? You just made rape ghosts. And they're like, nah, man, nah.
The weird thing about this is that there's so much pedigree to Exalted, where people were like, okay, well, you're making the third edition of this game. Let's talk a little bit about what went wrong in the first edition. The rules were terrible. And then in the second edition, you put out a giant picture of a raped girl giving birth to a super monster and had a whole book where that was a great thing.
Yeah, that you had entire chapters where people would do rape for sport.
Yeah, there was another book released during the second edition tenure where the cover was a woman whose pants were literally just a strapped-on tampon.
Yeah, so people were like, how about you don't do that?
Bring it down a notch.
Just, you know, you're at like a 12, bring it down to an 8.
Yeah, just bring it in. And their response was, yeah, we feel you. That's, you're right. You're absolutely right. We're going to be a more responsible team making the next series of Exalted. Anyway, here's flying rape ghosts.
Yeah, it was great because they had originally said, we understand that this was a problem. We understand that this isn't something that needs to be in the game and it's not something you want to have in the game. And then immediately did that. And then when they were called on it, they were like, no, we're good here.
No, we got it. We got this figured out, guys. You probably are just reading it out of context.
No, you don't understand. You see, it's not like rape. It's not like hold you down and stick it in rape. They want it. And you're like, oh, God, please don't.
This doesn't work on people who are dressed conservatively, guys. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, God, it was so terrible. And, like, even when they did finally get to the point where they're like, okay, we see what you're saying, and we'll try to apologize, but we're not going to apologize during the Kickstarter, because then it would seem like we were pandering. Oh, no, we'll wait until after, and then release a full apology. It has now been 2 years since the Kickstarter has ended. There has been no apology.
I don't really care. The thing about me is I don't care if they apologize or not. I want them to fix it.
Oh, yeah.
Apologies are what the internet demands, because the internet is just made of outrage. But realistically, all I want is for the course to be corrected. For them to say, oh, you're right. The whole reason we're doing third edition at all is because second edition was gross and rapey. It had some bad rules in it. Let's fix those things and release a third edition. Oops, it's gross and rapey again. No, you have time now. Now is when you can correct. Don't not...
You have time enough at last.
Yes, I don't need you to release a full apology and then release Rape Ghost behind it. Just fix it.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like when I feel like listening to the internet for the good advice. And the Exalted situation is worse than just that. Because they had the whole playtest situation where one of their versions of the game got... Their third edition game got leaked.
So they had a couple leaks. And after one of the big leaks, they just stopped playtesting.
Right. And it was... You could tell it was important because the playtest, sure, some internal playtesters got it and they were playing games with it, but it also got leaked to a larger community, and then that larger community took it and said, oh my gosh, there are so many things wrong with this that need to be fixed. Like, they were basically helping to playtest as opposed to just playing the game for free.
Yeah.
And instead of reacting to that by saying, oh, you know, this is a mistake and it shouldn't have happened, but look at all this information we're getting, their response was, we are very good not playtesting ever again. Thank you, the game is perfect, we're going to publish this.
Yeah, so I think the idea of listening to the internet is good to a point. I mean, obviously, you can't listen to everything. Like, if I release a playtest for a game, say, and 500 people are playing it, I can't listen to every single one of their complaints.
Oh, no.
You're going to have ones that are the opposite. Like, oh, this isn't powerful enough. This is too powerful. Okay, well, I can't please both of you.
Also, the fact that one in every, I'd say, four people was a total asshole means that you're going to get a whole lot of people whose comments are things like, these women are too equal to the men in this game.
Oh, yeah.
No penalties on black people? You won't get my money.
Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of people that are dumb and bad, and don't worry about it.
Yeah.
If it turns out that the game you made that's super rad, you find out there's some niche community that's terrible because of that, don't worry about that. They're a small community. No one cares.
Right. So there you go. Now, are we going to release playtests of our game?
Probably.
Why not, right?
I mean, we've got a new one coming. We've got the Blimp Lagers setting coming out, which listeners of the Afterthought may remember as our weird 1920s jazz age blimp-based rum-running prohibition game.
Where the bad guys are semi-intelligent giant mushrooms called the Fuzz.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like a terrible idea, but we're still pushing it forward.
Oh, we are doing this. We are doing the hell out of this.
Right, and at this point, we've moved it off Earth just because we want to introduce a bunch of fun races people can play, but we don't want people doing annoying things of comparing them to actual human races.
Yeah.
That is, ugh. So the fact that it used to be set in 1920s Chicago was like, this isn't going to work because people are going to look at one of the cool races we made up and say, well, these are probably supposed to be the Asians.
Yeah, anytime you have to set something in a real setting or even in the fantasy whatever version of it.
Yeah.
Like the amount of times where you go like, ah, we've got orcs and they're living in not Africa and they have a tribal system that, and you're like, please don't make black people orcs.
Yeah.
Just don't.
So... We've moved it off planet. It's now set on a new world that we haven't named yet, on a continent that isn't called the United States, or isn't called North America. It's called Vespia.
Yes.
Whatever.
So we've got a bunch of races. We've got abilities for them. The whole thing is in the Fate Core.
Yeah, we're working on it right now. If you want to be involved in it, let us know. We could use some more writers. We could definitely use some editors. We could definitely use some artists.
Yeah, if you want to be involved in any way... During this part, where it's mostly the creation, let us know. We do appreciate input. Again, like we just said, we might not listen to everything.
Yeah, and there's also the chance that we may someday try to sell this thing. So we're not exactly sure what the legal requirements of actually accepting help are. So, who knows? We're two amateur dumbasses. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Get in here and take advantage of us, lawyers.
Yeah, come on. Just get in there.
Yeah, you know...
Just ravish us.
This is going to be a big plump pie when we're done with it. Everyone's going to want a piece of some game called Blimp Leggers.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the next big thing. You want to get in on the ground floor.
This is the iPhone 7.0 right here. Get in on the ground floor and be involved.
Yes, we are conducting gaming 2.0 right here.
So do you think Fireborn would have been better if they actually had consulted the internet long enough to realize that there is such a thing as an otherkin?
Assuming that they weren't going for that to begin with, which...
I feel like they were.
Well, there's no evidence one way or the other, because you could say, like, oh, I'm a rad dragon guy, And if I didn't know Otherkin existed, I would go, dude, this is a great concept, like being a red dragon dude. That's cool.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you look at the game and it's very clearly their attempt to buy into the White Wolf model.
Yeah, and they couldn't do the actual White Wolf model of we took some monster and did that. But they were like, all right, what's the normal fantasy version of a monster instead of the, like, universal horror monsters? Okay, well, dragon is the biggest monster. It's right in the title of Dungeons & Dragons. Why don't we have a game that's like White Wolf, but you're a dragon guy?
That actually makes me think that a really great game to develop would be Greenskin, the Hordes. And you could, because, you know, every White Wolf, the way you build a fan script if you're doing White Wolf is you take a thing, you divide it up into five easily classified things, and then you assign a curse to them and you're done.
Oh, yeah. Well, right? I mean, you could do that easily with orcs. You'd have, like, all right, you've got your big green orcs, you've got your more goblin-y orcs.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying, Greenskin, because instead of going orcs, you just go, all right, your five things are goblins, hobgoblins, bugbears, orcs, and, I don't know, gnolls? Why not?
They're not green. How dare you?
Well, you gotta have one that's weird. That's your night cast.
No, I refuse. I will not compromise my principles on green.
The hobgoblins aren't green either.
Yeah, well, they could be.
So can gnolls. It's green gnolls.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Now I'm on board.
I'm sorry, I forgot to say that the gnolls were green.
Now, if they were Beyonce gnolls, then I would be on board.
Most of them are Beyonce gnolls as well. What are we even talking about?
I really wish I had a picture of Beyonce Knowles.
If someone wants to draw Beyonce Knowles for us, that would be fantastic.
Like, give me a single ladies with three Knowles. Come on, man.
It doesn't need to be a good drawing. I just send us a picture of Beyonce Knowles, and we'll put it somewhere that where everyone can see
it. I'm going to put that right on the fridge.
Right on the Twitter fridge. That's awesome. All right. What do you say we answer some questions? Okay, we have a few. First question comes to us from Blake S., and he asks, how do we reduce the crime rate in Chicago?
I mean, probably more boggarts, I'd assume.
Boggarts aren't criminal, so the more boggarts you put there... Wait, no, some of them are.
Oh, no. Too many boggarts.
Boggart 2. Too many boggarts.
This is way too many boggarts.
Well, actually, I think this is interesting, Blake, because one of the neat things about the Chicago crime scene is that it's actually on the decline. Over the course of approximately the past 10 years, just about every type of crime across the board in Chicago has gone down. Although, there's a lot of evidence to support that that's not because the crime rate in Chicago is actually reducing, but that police reporting of crimes in Chicago has gotten way worse.
Yeah, it's probably that police are way worse.
Yeah. You may be wondering why the hell I know anything at all about Chicago crime rates, given that I saw that question like 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I got a sister there.
Oh.
So I research and look into
See, that's
Chicago,
weird, because
yeah.
I had a sister there, and I didn't give a fuck.
Oh, your sister's older than you. I have a little sister there.
Yeah.
So there you go. You assume your little sister is always going to need help, even though she's fully grown adult who has a job and everything.
Yeah, well, I sort of always assume that my sister is going to need some help, because, yeah, she's mostly fully grown adult, but also related to me, so kind of dumb. Which isn't true. My sister is the smartest person I've ever met.
Well, there you go. Then she doesn't need your help with the Chicago crime rate.
No, she doesn't.
So really, the answer to how to reduce the crime rate in Chicago is we need better police reporting, we need better police accountability, we probably need a mayor in Chicago that is willing to push for both of those instead of capitulating to the unions. The comedy answer is, I don't know, flood of molasses? You know, if everyone's full of fresh molasses, they're probably going to not want to commit any crimes.
Just give them all treacle.
Yeah, lots of treacle everywhere, all over Chicago. Also, blancmange.
What the fuck?
A blancmange. It's a big, gross pudding that British people eat.
I'm a big, gross pudding.
Do British people eat you?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Of course, every time I'm there.
I don't know. That would be the comedy answer.
Yeah, it certainly would. Let's see. Blake S. also wants to know, what folk wisdom do you still believe in? And folk wisdom is sort of that kind of chicken soup, the feed a fever, starve a cold, or if it's the other way around, I've never been able to remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I feed them both, because I'm a big fat guy.
Feed a fever, also your face, forever, yeah. Don't ever stop.
Feed a fever, feed a cold, feed Jeff a pizza. That's how that saying goes, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's when you're hungry, eat a dozen donuts. That's, I think, how the saying goes.
When you're not hungry, Eat a dozen donuts. When you're bored, eat a dozen donuts.
Let's see, what folk wisdom do I have?
One of the ones that stuck with me forever, and I only recently abandoned it, was that you have to wait before getting in a pool after eating.
The whole cramping
up
thing?
Yeah, you'll cramp up if you... and
you'll crampus up.
I knew it was bullshit, but I still did it. I'd still be like, all right, I know this isn't real, but I'm eating. I have to wait 45 minutes before I get into that pool. So that's one that stuck with me forever. Only until very recently have I given up on that.
Yeah, I think the one thing, and it was because... My grandpa used to have this solution for everything, and not just, like, he would say, you need to gargle with salt water. And it wasn't just if you had a sore throat. It was, like, for everything. It was his Robitussin. So, like, if you were feeling ill at all, it was always, gargle with salt water. Okay, I don't know what that's gonna do, but all right.
Let's think about the things that would actually do. It would draw...
Salt up your gargles.
Salt up your gargles a little. It would draw moisture out of the inside of your mouth a little bit.
I guess. I mean, yeah. I suppose if you had a cough, maybe it would dry out the phlegm? I don't know what the hell the point of this is.
Maybe it would dry mucus out of your... or pull mucus out of, like, your connecticut joints and so on up in there, you know?
Yeah.
Get some spilkus out of your connecticut joints.
Yeah.
It might help with that, but I don't think it would do anything else. I mean, at least salt water is less gross than the common one, which is oil pulling.
Ugh. Okay. Also, my grandpa never had to do this myself, never saw him at least do it, but I knew there were tales of him using the old black salve.
Oh, Lord, black salve. That is...
Oh, God, that is the most horrible, dangerous, don't ever use this thing.
It's like, it's just acidic Play-Doh, and you put it on yourself to see what it does.
Yeah, it is one of those things where I'm like, you know, you're probably gonna just, like, eat away at your flesh in a dangerous amount if you use this.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you have a hearty constitution and some time on your hands, and you feel like grossing yourself out, you can just Google black salve, like, mishaps, and just see the grossest pictures of people who burned their nose off trying to get rid of a mole.
Ugh. God.
Yeah, that is messed up. I don't know if that's an old folk wisdom or not. I hope not.
No, I think that's just old shitty remedies for when people were too poor to afford medicine.
That's just bullshit snake oil.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. It's just someone told them this would work, and they believed it, because who knew?
Yeah. Do you read astrology at all? Is that one of your things?
No. No, although even just today, someone was saying, like, yeah, it's like astrology. You know, you're going to find hardship, but as long as you go through the steps to overcome it, you'll overcome it. I go, that's not astrology. That's how life works.
Yeah.
When you have a hardship... and you go through all of the steps to overcome your hardship, that's called overcoming hardship.
That said, John, what is your sign?
I'm a Virgo.
Oh, okay.
Which means I'm supposed to be really neat and like organizing things and enjoy work and being a workaholic, which is not like me at all, because the Earth's position relative to some stars means fuck all to anything.
One of the neatest things I always think about when I think about astrology is that people say, well, it could be real because there's actually gravity affecting you from those stars, which is true. It's accurate. Yes, that's right. However, each individual star other than the sun's gravity effect on you is roughly less than the effect that any individual grain of sand on Earth has on you.
Yep.
So it's neat. Anyway, I myself am a Sagittarius.
Yeah, the most philosophical of all the signs.
Is that what it is? I always assume it's the one where they ran out of shit to say about the other signs and just stuck leftovers in there, because it's at the end of the line. And the only reason I even pay attention to astrology at all is so that I can nerdily interject myself into conversations about it, because technically I'm not a Sagittarius. I'm an Ophiuchus, the serpent bearer.
The bullshit that someone made up recently.
The one that's supposed to have been added over the past 5,000 years.
Lol.
Yeah, so I always like that exists, so I can just get in there and nerd it up a little extra.
Of course, anytime you tell someone who's super into that, you're like, you know, I'm not actually anything like my sign. I'm, you know, completely different from whatever. This is, even for being super vague, I'm not that. They're like, oh, well, what I really need to know is the time that you were born, the day you were born, how the signs of the stars were, because that's going to give you your true star sign instead of just your vague one for the day you were born. You're like, okay, awesome.
Yeah, my girlfriend's parents are into the astrology, and so back when I first met her and her and I started dating, her parents asked for all that information from me, and then were angered to learn, well, not angered, but disappointed to learn that I had no idea what any of it was off the top of my head. They're like, what time of day were you born? I was like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
What hospital were you born in? I don't know. I have no idea.
That has never mattered to me.
Yeah, I was born in Yorba Linda, California, at whatever hospital there is there. And it was some time of day, and that's the end of that. So eventually I had to contact them, and apparently that's the thing where a lot of hospitals deal with that constantly, where you call and say, hey, when was I born? And they have records of it. And they're like, all right, astrology person, here you go. So I have this big record stuck in amongst like my important tax paperwork and stuff, which is like a book report that her parents did on all the information of each planetary alignment point and so on for the moment that I was born.
Yeah.
And I've never actually read it, so I don't really know what it says. I just like, oh, thank you, and put it away quietly. So there you go.
There you are.
It probably says I'm a Sagittarius. Next question.
Yep.
Comes to us from Michael M., and he says, you've previously discussed who would win in a fight between a party of Exalted characters and a party of Rift's characters. All right. As round two of this Battle Royale, who would win in a fight between a team of Cinnabar characters featuring at least one Biosyntha cyborg?
Yeah.
And a crew of Continuum time travelers.
Well, it's the Continuum one, because unfortunately they have fiat power.
Yeah, they really do. The Continuum guys have unbelievably powerful power, so much so that the only real threat to them is other Continuum guys.
Yeah, because they're only threatened by other people that could give them their own paradox. Because otherwise you're just like, oh, we're fighting. Oh, well, I'm going to have a copy of me from the future come back with a rocket launcher and shoot them.
Not even shoot them. I'm going to go kill you as a baby.
Oh,
yeah. I'm going to go back to the beginning of time when Aridius, the god of hope and command, was attempting to assemble Mars into a planet, and I'm going to tell him not to take your ancestor because he's evil. Or whatever. Now, does the Biosyntha cyborg help in any way in this scenario? Biosyntha cyborgs are basically the Vision. Like, remember how every single one of the classes in Cinnabar lines up with a member of the Justice League?
Yeah.
Which means that Biosyntha cyborgs, I guess, are just cyborg?
Yeah, it's just cyborg.
Yeah, I mean, more robot-y than... Because they don't have any kind of, oh, I wish I was human problem that cyborg does. Does he... is that him? Is he one of the...
No, not really.
Yeah, he's... I've seen him do some oh, woe is me stuff about being a cyborg in a few sources of media, but usually he's pretty cheerful.
Yeah, no, normally cyborg is like, yeah, but I'm a badass, so, you know... Yay.
Yeah, he's not like Spencer from Bionic Commando.
No. Because you can beat him. You can't beat Spencer.
How could you beat Spencer? He's got a bionic arm.
Shout out to anyone who plays Marvel vs. Capcom 3, apparently.
Sure, why not? So there you go. Unfortunately, it's going to have to go to the Continuum guys, who are just going to use shenanigan nonsense, cheat their way to the win.
Well, it's the dumb bullshit you see in anything. As soon as you give someone time travel powers, is the only way to beat them is to take it away or fuck with them in some way that they can't stop. Like, it was the problem with Heroes.
Yeah, that was
originally
That was the problem with Heroes.
Was it.
That was the only problem with Heroes.
Well, honestly, one of the biggest problems was once you put Hiro Nakamura in there, you had to come up with dumb shit to stop him from fixing everything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you have a guy who can fuck with space and time. How does he not just win? Well, we gave him, he lost his powers in ancient Japan. Why? Because we don't want to deal with him.
It worked for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. No, it didn't. That movie was awful, but...
Yeah, no, it's... Anytime you have a character with time travel powers, you can't pit them against someone else because they win.
I liked their original plan for how to deal with Hiro having time powers, which was, he's a big stupid baby, and so it doesn't matter whether or not he has time powers, because he's just going to spend his time being amused at himself.
Well, that was at least one of the things we go, oh, well, he can travel through time. It's like, yeah, but he's been, like, a fucking office drone his entire life, and has no idea how to do anything, and is a big bitch baby.
He was just super goofy. That was his whole characterization, was him just going, hey, I'm excited to be here!
Yeah, but the problem was they immediately went, oh, here's Hiro from the future. He's a super badass samurai with a katana that knows how to fight. And you're like, oh, wonderful. You made it so that because he has time travel powers, he's a super badass.
And you made it that because he's Japanese, even when he gets into the future and becomes a badass, he's got to have one of their cool swords.
Yeah, he has to have a katana.
Yeah, you know why the samurai in Japan stopped carrying swords is because they figured out that guns were a thing, right? Like, that actually happened. I mean, they still make them, and they're really cool and all, but they moved on to guns.
yeah, Oh, so I was watching the new Heroes series, Heroes Reborn.
Have you been watching that? Oh my gosh.
So I've watched the first few episodes, and the fact that they have one more Japanese character, and it's immediately all of her stuff is based around having a katana again, and I'm like, yay, good job, Heroes.
Isn't she related to Hero as well? Is that...
No, she has Hero's sword.
Oh, okay.
She has his katana.
Oh, what's her superpower?
Katana
stuff?
She can go into a video game. And so you get that shitty, we're not a movie, like, Lawnmower Man level, you're in a video game
oh,
art.
That's the best. That might actually bring me back in to watch it.
Because, oh, yeah.
Because bad video game effects in a TV show are some of my favorite shit. That is my extreme shit.
Oh, yeah. No, it's someone who's like, oh, we made a few scenes in Poser and have her running around in a video game.
Yeah, and then there's just shots of her running around and, like, buying stuff from a merchant. And then you can hear a background person saying, she's the best at this ever. They say that she reached a level that no one else can even reach.
Oh, actually, you get... So, the only reason she's brought into this thing is there's another guy who's like, hi, I'm a professional gamer, and I'm the super best at this video game, and I'm here to talk to you because you're the daughter of the guy who made this game. And so then we have both of those things where it's, I'm the super cool video game guy, and she... he basically follows the same path of, like, Hero's buddy from the first season of, like, I have no powers, but I'm stupid and I'm here to help.
Yeah, and then by, like, the third season, he gets powers.
Yeah, he has some red lightning that's ill-defined.
Yeah, he can shoot pink bolts or something. It's kind of sad. But yeah, I mean, that's my favorite thing about the video games and shows, is whenever they do the thing where they say, like, this person reached level 130, this game's only supposed to go to level 75! I love that shit.
Okay. Yeah, I think we've finished talking about Heroes enough.
All right, sure. Next question comes to us from Todd S., and he wants to know, what's the deal with airline food? Seriously, who are the ad wizards who came up with this one?
Thanks. Thank you. Are you sure that came from Todd S.?
Well, Todd probably not, but S.
Yes, his name is Todd Seinfeld.
Todd Seinfeld.
God damn you, Todd. I hate you, Todd, so much.
I guess we have to answer the famous Seinfeld questions.
So the deal with airline food is now you have to pay for it if you want it, and it's fucking bullshit garbage.
Yeah, it's extremely bad.
No, and that's what pisses me off, is they used to be like, okay, here's like maybe a small sandwich or some crackers or whatever, and now you have to pay for it, just like you have to pay to like check bags for almost everything.
Yeah. Well, no, the current deal with airline food is that even if you aren't on a flight that goes for more than, like, 12 hours, there isn't any. And instead, you get a can of soda near the beginning of the flight and a second can near the end of the flight.
Well, you get a can.
For some reason, they always offer me the can afterwards. I think it's because I'm ordering weirder drinks. I think that's...
Like Clamato?
No, I hate Clamato, but I usually get the apple cranberry juice when I'm on a plane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, apple cran, please. And they're like, ah, oh, here's some apple cran. Would you like the rest of this can? Because I'm going to throw it away if I get to the end of the line. So there you go, folks. Don't copy that secret, just in case I'm on a plane later.
Yeah, if you're ever on a plane with Jeff, don't get the apple crayon.
Yeah, you get ginger ale.
I always get ginger ale on the plane.
Right? Because it tastes better on a plane.
Yeah, it always tastes better on a plane.
Well, there's actually science for why that is.
Yeah, the altitude of ginger.
Something like that. It's something about how air pressure affects ginger and makes it taste better in your mouth.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know that ginger and tomato juice are the two that are supposed to taste way better on airplanes than off.
Huh.
Yeah. But I like cranberry juice better myself.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
All right. Oh, and the ad wizards that came up with that one. Probably Merlin.
Yeah, it's going to be Merlin and a guy named Hank Smith. Hank Smith invented the airline food paradigm of today back around 1951.
Yeah, he worked for Pan Am.
Worked for Pan Am, got out of having to participate in the Korean War because of a club foot, went on to work at Pan Am, developed airline food that was, at first he was working with freeze-dried technology because that was the hotness in the late 50s, so he developed a number of freeze-dried shrimp meals, freeze-dried chicken teriyaki and parmesan, all of which tasted extremely bad, like styrofoam packing peanuts pushed into water.
Let me just stop you there and say that I really wish that there was a really awesome, like, nightclub destination just called Foot, so that you could go to Club Foot.
God, is that what you were laughing about?
I have spent the last, like, 15 seconds quietly laughing to myself over the idea of Club Foot.
I feel like Club Foot would be where, like, the Foot Clan hangs out.
Yeah,
and then
both. Yeah. It's both.
Yeah, and then the Ninja Turtles kick themselves for not realizing that, like,
oh, yeah,
really
it'd be
early.
Some episode where they show up and they're like, Clubfoot, how did we not realize?
I mean, it's an offensive name in the first place, but really, it's full of teenagers wearing those dumb masks that look like shoes. We should have put this together.
Come on, guys. We need to go beat up some disenfranchised youth.
That's what we do. We're the Ninja Turtles, and we have a parent, so we beat up those who don't.
All right, fuck this. Move on.
All right, next question comes to us from Jake B. Jake asks, would you rather only pee fire or poop every time you have an orgasm? All right, let's do this comedy bang bang style. I'll take over the hosting duties. John, would you rather only pee fire or poop every time you have an orgasm? I have all the answers. You are welcome to ask me any questions until I close the floor.
Okay, so when I pee fire,
mm-hmm.
Do I have fire inside of me that I'm peeing out, or does it become fire once I pee it?
You pee a liquid that is air flammable on contact with air. So the moment the pee comes out of you, it is immediately converted into a blazing fire that sprays out from you.
Will this burn my dick, or am I immune to my own piss fire?
It burns your dick at first, but eventually you actually build up a thick callus at the end of your dick that enables you to pee fire. Also, because the callus is unusually shaped, it increases the kind of angle of the spray. So the spray's almost at a 45-degree angle coming out from you.
Okay.
But it doesn't burn you anymore. As an adult, it no longer does.
All right, but it would burn me if it got on other parts of my body, like if I pissed on my foot.
That is correct. If you pee on your foot, you get fire on your foot in this situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, does it burn is it like a napalm-type burning, or is it just like a gas it immediately consumes?
It's so volatile that it turns into gas immediately on exposure to air. So if it burns you, it's mostly singeing your hair or delivering direct heat. It doesn't stick to you. There's no burning fluid.
Okay, so if I piss somewhere, it's not just going to sit there burning for a while.
That is correct.
Okay, good.
It means you can't really write your name in snow. You can, like, evaporate a big area of snow.
Okay, now for pooping when I have an orgasm.
That's correct.
Okay, now, are we talking, like, full super poop? Or is this just, like, if I haven't eaten anything, does the poop magically appear? Or is it like I would have a normal poop, but it's when I orgasm?
All right, it automatically fast forwards to whatever your next poop would be, and you get that poop instead.
So it's like a time poop.
That's correct.
I'm stuck in a time poop.
Yes, you have a time poop. You're a time loop pooper, and so you actually have to, once you poop, when you have an orgasm, if you have not eaten at all for like several days, you need to look at that poop to determine what you ate in the future, and then eat it, or else you'll cause a paradox.
I have to close my own poop loop.
That's right, you have to close your poop loop.
Okay.
Every time you have an orgasm, if you haven't eaten recently, because otherwise, where did that poop come from? You don't know. Now, normally, it's safe to not look at the poop you poop when you orgasm, because, you know, timelines being what they are, you are destined to eat whatever's in that poop.
Oh, so am I 12 monkeys pooping then, so that the fact that I pooped is going to cause me to eat what's going to make me poop that in the future?
Yeah, you're all, it's Back to the Future 12 Monkeys rules.
It's a, well, those are two different rules.
But, okay, let me see.
12 Monkeys is you can't change anything.
Oh, 12
Everything
Monkeys,
you do happens in
that's
a
right.
cycle.
And in Back to the Future, you literally can change history.
Yeah, it's branching timelines.
All right, so.
So do I have a branching poop timeline, or do I have a cyclical poop timeline?
You have a branching poop timeline.
Okay, so I could, technically, if I got, say, an almanac while I was jerking off on the toilet, I could poop and then change my poopture.
That's right. Now
I could get back to the poopture.
You could get back to the poopture. Now, one of the things you could potentially do for yourself is eat almanac pieces and then poop them into the past.
Huh.
If you're willing to dig around in your poop. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm here. But it would have to be something like really soon.
Yeah. Something that's not only really soon, but is published into an almanac of some variety.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can only eat almanac pieces. I mean, you're not allowed to, you know.
Oh, so I'm not allowed to eat anything else.
Well, no, you're allowed to eat regular food, but when it comes to food that has information printed on it, you're restricted to almanac pieces. You can't, for example.
So I can't have, like, say, a piece of corn that I have, like, zapped laser written into it, like, tomorrow's lottery numbers?
You could do that, I guess. But it's up to you whether or not that laser zap into the corn is readable when it comes out the other side of you. I understand the poop properties of corn.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong.
All right. Okay. So I'm thinking...
Right. Do you want me to close the floor for questions?
Because
you can't vote.
All right. Okay, I think I'm done.
Okay, well, I'm going to close the floor for questions. John, how do you care to vote?
I'm going to go with P-Fire.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I'm going with P-Fire here.
I thought you had poop every time you take an orgasm on lock, especially because you didn't ask me into the negative questions. Like, you know, what does the person I'm with think?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's... I think that's going to be socially unacceptable, whereas peeing fire, I'm pretty sure I could make a career out of that. Like, that's a thing I could do. That is a job I could have.
You could be one of those guys on stage peeing fire, like, next to the guy who's, like, hammering a nail through his cheek or eating light bulbs.
No, I could go join some circus and it'd be like, the amazing fire pee guy! And it would be great.
Well, you're going to have a guy come up with a better name for you than the amazing fire pee guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure someone will be there. Like, one of the wrestling announcers will give me a better name.
Yeah. And it's a good thing you cut it off when you did, because if you would continue asking along the orgasm poop question line, you may have eventually realized that in that scenario, you are always orgasming forever.
Good.
Which, you know, you forgot to ask about. So, yeah, you are never not orgasming, which is nice in that scenario, but you're also just considerably pooping forever. You're sitting on a giant mountain of your own poop.
Oh, good.
Just endless poop. So, good. Probably made the right choice here.
All
right,
good. I'm glad I got that out of the way.
Yeah, so I'm going to tally up the points, and let's see. The correct answer was orgasm pooping, as it turns out. That's weird. You think, seeing this is a horrible scenario, but you know, that's just the way these questions work. So, unfortunately, you chose wrong, but you still get 300 points for playing, which puts you above anyone else who's playing. I guess you win.
Yay!
All right. That's an orgasm, poop, pee, fire, would you rather question scenario.
Good job. Thanks, everyone.
We did it. All right. Next question comes to us from Sam.
All right, Sam.
Of all the RPGs you've reviewed thus far, which one would you like to see made into a movie? How about a video game?
All right. Well, I suppose for the which one to be made into a movie, I'm going to go with D&D, and into a video game, we'll go EverQuest. Hey! Lol.
Oh, my.
No, okay. So, I think for a movie...
Indiana Jones.
Lol. Also lol.
Indiana Jones and the whipping his students. That's the movie I want.
I want to say, okay, for an actual answer, I want to say Heaven and Earth.
Yeah.
Because it's... As long as we can get David Lynch's Heaven and Earth, the movie,
mm-hmm.
I would watch that. Because it would be weird as fuck. And just crazy shit would happen, and I would love to see that.
All right, well, as a counterpoint, I'm going to pick a different David in a different book, and I'm going to say I'd like to see David Cronenberg's Numenon.
Oh, also good. Good pick.
Right? Yeah. Dude, bugs, giant bugs wandering around a mansion being all gross and learning secrets.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm on board. I think either one of these would be amazing.
Yeah, so there you go. Those are the best ones we made into a movie, almost for certain, of the ones we've done so far.
Almost for certain.
Best video game?
Best video game, I want to say Don't Look Back, Terra's Never Far Behind.
As a Telltale game?
Just you're walking around and you're like, okay, and then I talk to some people and you're going to give me some cool background because you're Telltale.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a fat knife clown attacks me and I have to hit A to run away or hit B to try and take someone with me.
Okay, I like that. That seems pretty solid. You're a big fan of the Telltale game series in general.
Oh, yeah, I've played... Everything but the Game of Thrones one, because I don't give a shit about Game of Thrones.
Have you played the one from Borderlands?
Yeah, there's the Borderlands one. They also have a Minecraft one, which I haven't done, which is new.
And they have a Lost one, and so on. So, okay, great. Let's see. I had a
Back to the Future one, which was also rad.
That is good. I'm going to go, and this is a weird choice, but it's because I love open-ended game design so much. I'm going to go with After the Bomb.
Huh.
And I want it to work like Monster Rancher. I want my mutant animal character to be developed by putting like a CD or a random QR code or something into the game so that it generates what kind of animal I am and what my mutation scores are.
Sweet.
And then it's a platforming side-scroller. So whatever you generate, it's able to get through the game world. And if you generate something that's like more aquatic, then you do better at the aquatic levels and so on. And you get a roster. You get to put in more and more of these CDs and QR codes to build sort of a team of mutant heroes that run together. And then they run through a world jumping and flying and swimming and so on to defeat the Empire of Humanity or whatever it was that was the bad guys in that game.
Well,
I want the random factor.
Oh, you know what would be great? I want to get a Haven, City of Violence, roguelike.
Ooh, yeah.
Just super deadly.
Yeah.
Very hard to do, and you've got to, like, navigate your way off of Rome Island.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. I don't know why you get to start in Rome Island. I mean, clearly that's, like, the level 50 of the Mines of Moria dungeon equivalent. You should probably start in,
it's one of those, like, super small roguelikes, kind of like Binding of Isaac.
Oh, okay, sure enough. Whenever I think Rogue Band, I literally think of, like, Angband, Moria, the games that are, like, text-based and you play as the at symbol.
Yeah.
Okay, but I can see where you're going now. Something more that's a little more modern, a little more like a Zelda hard mode of the first Zelda game.
Yeah.
Okay. Then yeah, that would be really good.
I would love that.
Yeah, just rockets streaming in from nowhere.
Oh, yeah, just bullets flying from all sides.
Oh, dude.
Cars going past you.
The third level boss is Milk Baby.
Oh, Milk Baby.
John Delighted, as I remember a name from one of those games.
God, I love that so much.
See, now, if I had to do a Haven thing, I would say I want Haven to be made into an NBC, or sorry, HBO miniseries.
No, an NBC miniseries.
An NBC miniseries, Haven, My Baby is Taken From Me. No, but HBO miniseries called Haven City of Violence would be awesome. Like, just a bunch of cops arguing with each other and someone dies every episode.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty solid. It'd be basically like a way worse version of The Wire.
Yeah. Oh, I would dig a movie out of Scion because then you wouldn't have to worry about their dumb bullshit rules.
I would also enjoy a video game out of Scion if you turned it into a, like, Double Dragon style side-scrolling beat-em-up.
So each Pantheon just had one character to pick, and that was their fighter?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
So you have like Thor, and then you go over to the Greek Pantheon, you get Athena, you go over to the Aztec Pantheon, you've got Quetzalcoatl, and so on. And every one of them's got their own unique moveset, and then you can play as all five of them at once, if you want, because it's an arcade side-scroller with all the controllers lined up.
Oh, yeah. So you get, like, that X-Men game.
Yeah, it's X-Men game, but instead you play as the gods of various pantheons.
Yeah, so you'd be like, I'm Thor, and I hit my special button and go...
Yeah. Nice little Colossus noise. I would assume that Thor would fire a lightning beam across the screen.
Nice beam!
Yeah, he'd fire a nice beam, although the Thor in Marvel vs. Capcom 2... He's in 3. Does fire a giant lightning bolt directly across. Yeah.
Something spark.
Yeah, yeah. Mighty spark, I think it is.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. So there you go. There's a lot of answers.
There's so many answers. Jesus, okay.
We can make a lot of great video games. You know, we didn't even mention the best way to play old RPGs, which is those SSI top-down D&D roguelike type things.
Huh.
Remember those? Oh, man, that would be so good for so many of these games.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the next and final question for the week. Justin, oh, I'm sorry, his name is Just Justin, apparently.
All right, Just Justin.
Justin, apparently, asks, what's the best dinosaur? And would it win in a fight with the worst robot?
Well, I don't have a lot of opinions on dinosaurs, but I'm going to say the best dinosaur is...
The best dinosaur is the dinosaur at home.
Yeah.
A dinosaur at home is worth two in the bush.
They're very clever in the bush. I'm going to go with an ankylosaur.
An ankylosaur. Now, for folks who are uninitiated, the ankylosaur is the armored dinosaur that looks like half a football covered in studs.
Yeah, I love that thing. It was always, growing up, it was just the tail. The fact that it had a big mace tail, I was like, you're rad. I love you. The concept of you just walking around being kind of calm and collected, and then someone fucks with you and you're like, oh, nuh-uh, and then you just spin around and slap him in the face.
You want to hear a really cool thing? The name of the tail on those, and then also on the spike tail on Stegosauruses, they have a name for that club thing on the end of a tail, the weapon back there, and it's the Thagomizer.
Oh, man, I know what my next character is.
Right? Thagomizer is the coolest word. So, anyway.
I'm Mr. Thagomizer.
I'm Mr. Spikes.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. We're getting really diverse with the things we pulled from for these. Old Rankin-Bass holiday classics? Yes. All right, I'm going to say my favorite dinosaur of all time is... Quetzalcoatlus. Quetzalcoatlus is one of the pterosaurs. It probably walked around on its feet and also the elbow parts of its wings, because it would have been too top-heavy to walk around on the ground any other way. It has the longest wingspan, and it would be the heaviest thing that has ever been alive and flying in Earth history.
Neat.
It had a wingspan of about 36 feet.
Huh.
Yeah, just think about that. Like, six of you lying down is how long
this is. I always think about six of me just lying down. You know what I mean.
Gross. Now imagine that flying around, just rolling and writhing through the air.
Yeah, just that big mass ball flying through the air.
Just undulating like that character in the Cormac McCarthy novel.
Oh, and you only notice that it's gone above you when you get some drippings on you. Making it weird.
Making it worse. Anyway, the Quetzalcoatlus probably wasn't a dangerous dinosaur exactly because, you know, it's kind of ungainly on land. It was probably a big fish eater or scavenger. But it's so huge and so interesting and so less known. I mean, we already know the big predators, your T-Rex and the brachiosaurs and ultrasaurs that made up the biggest land animals. But the Quetzalcoatlus was this unbelievably huge bird dinosaur. Just cool. Neat idea to me.
And I think the worst robot, I'm going to go with a Furby on this, so yes.
Okay, could it be a Furby?
Yes,
yeah, Furby is a pretty terrible robot. I would almost want to go with that R2-D2 ripoff from the Black Hole.
Oh, I thought you were about to mention BB-8.
Ooh, BB-8 is awesome, though. I really like BB-8.
I know. That's why when you were like, stupid R2-D2 replacement, I was like, oh, what the fuck's wrong with you?
No, BB-8's a fine replacement for R2-D2. I don't think he's a replacement for R2-D2. I think R2-D2's going to be in those movies.
Oh, probably. I mean, definitely, you see him, but whatever.
I'm kind of hoping there's a scene where he shows up BB-8 a little bit.
Yeah, it's where like, he's just like, burr, burr, burr.
Yeah, newcomer.
Let's see you fuck a door and make it open. What?
Let's see if you have little jet boots stuck into you because the prequels are so dumb. But no, the old Disney movie, The Black Hole, had some R2-D2 looking things that kind of looked like Mega Man bad guys floating around. And they were, I just realized who the worst.
No, it's the Interstellar robot.
No, it's Herbie. Herbie is the worst robot.
The Love Bug?
Not Herbie the Love Bug. Herbie the Love Bug isn't a robot. Herbie the Love Bug is a car that achieved sentience. Completely different category. Herbie is the robot that was on the Fantastic Four TV show because they couldn't put the Human Torch on it because it was thought that he would encourage kids to light themselves on fire.
See, the thing is, I know that Herbie exists in the Fantastic Four universe anyway. I did not realize they didn't have a Human Torch. That seems wrong to me somehow.
That's the story of the original Fantastic Four TV show from, what I want to say, the 70s. Was that they were afraid of putting the Human Torch on the show because they literally thought kids would self-immolate in attempts to copy him. So instead, they replaced him with a helpful, family-friendly robot named Herbie, who mostly just floated around and said things like, beep, boop, I am scared.
Good.
He was like the Scooby of the Fantastic Four.
Oh, wonderful.
Replacing the Human Torch, which is just dumb. So.
Yeah, because the Human Torch is one of the only really cool things on the Fantastic Four.
Every one of the Fantastic Four is awesome with a terrible personality. That's the way that they work. I don't give one shit about Yancey Street. Shut the fuck up, Ben. But
God damn it, Ben. You haven't lived on Yancey Street for 20 years.
Yeah, you live in upstate New York now. Do you know what floor you're on? Do you know how many butlers your building has?
You have a robot butler named Herbie.
Yeah. You know that Herbie would literally incinerate anyone from Yancey Street trying to get into your building.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and the cops wouldn't report it.
Yeah, and the whole time you're just like, yeah, Yancey Street, the ever-loving blue-eyed thing. Dude, shut up. Just stop it. You're gentrified.
You sold out.
Yeah, he sold out.
Nah, thing didn't sell out. He bought in.
God damn it.
We
didn't land on Plymouth Rock. I'm made of Plymouth Rock.
God damn it, thing.
All right, that's the story of the thing.
That's all the questions.
That's all the questions we have for you today.
And before we sign off, just another quick reminder for anyone who wanted to get a suggestion in. We are several days into Horrortoberfest now, so still doing once a day horror movie reviews. I am watching one every day. So far, it hasn't been the worst. I think I'm saving all of the terrible ones to watch with Jeff.
Thank you, because the one we watched together already, Goth, was terrible.
And at the time of recording this, the other two that I have watched have gotten a 4 and a 4.5 out of 5, respectively, from me.
I've only seen one of the two of them, and I would totally agree with it, because Sunshine is a great film.
Yeah, no, so far, all of the stuff I've randomly rolled off of the list of suggestions has been actually watchable.
Yeah.
So if you want to make sure I'm getting tortured, go ahead and suggest some bullshit.
Right, and the way that the Horrortoberfest works this year is you can write in suggestions, he'll randomly roll and watch those films. If it's a Thursday suggestion, then instead of him watching it and writing a review, we'll do a podcast about it.
Yeah, we're doing weekly movie masteries for the entire month of October.
That's right. Don't send in your recommendations on Thursdays, though. That's not how this works. So, you know, if it's a suggestion that we pull on Thursday, that's how we'll do it.
Yes.
So that's going to be going all the way through October. We have another system mastery coming at you real soon. That'll be out next week. We also have another movie mastery coming right up. Who knows what that's going to be?
Yeah, and look out for some special guests. Special guest a little bit from now.
Yeah, next Afterthought, we should have another game designer on to ask them about the process and so on.
So if you've got any questions about game design in general or things like that, anything you didn't get out of your system to begin with, we can go ahead and get those questions as well.
Yes.
And just any random questions you want for Afterthought.
In fact, I can tell you the fellow's name is David Sherjuan. If you have any questions you would have liked to ask him before, he's got a Kickstarter coming out right about the same time as the podcast will be going live for his new RPG, which I believe is called Mythic Mortals. So if you have any questions you'd like to ask him about that, go ahead and send those questions our way. We'll have them ready for him.
Yep.
And otherwise, go support us on Patreon. Listen to us. You can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. You can find us at SystemMasteryPodcast.com, System Mastery on Facebook, Gmail, or Twitter. Get out there. Get in contact with us. We need more questions. We're running low. So if you have any dumb questions we should ask on System Mastery...
We need more questions. More questions about Spider-Man.
Thank you. Thank you, J. Jonah John. just send us all the questions you can. The dumber, the better. That's the way we likes them.
Yep.
And that has been The Afterthought. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful week.